Amen. We are continuing our preaching series tonight on I Choose. I love that. I Choose. There's a young man on Facebook who's went through our school of ministry, and I'm not going to call his name. He's a wonderful young man. He has gotten somehow all wrapped up into predestination, Calvinism, that man doesn't have a choice at all. I'm here to tell you tonight, we have a choice, and that's what the scripture says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And so we've been talking about choosing prayer, and the pastor has wonderfully given us those principles of prevailing prayer. And I've been talking about different topics. I choose joy. I've already covered that. And you have to choose joy. You have to choose joy. I tell folks that your day tends to go in the same direction as the corners of your mouth. So if your corners of your mouth are up, your day's going to go up, and the opposite. And then the last time I preached on I Choose Trust, how we have to choose to trust the Lord when things aren't going the way that we think. And so tonight I want to talk to you about I Choose Worship. Say that with me. I choose worship. But, Pastor, there's a storm coming out. But I choose worship. Pastor, I've been disappointed. I choose worship. Oh, Pastor, I've had a diagnosis. I choose worship. I've been through a bad divorce. I choose worship. I've been depressed. I choose worship. Say that, I choose worship with me. I've been discouraged. I choose worship. I've been rejected. I choose worship. I've been hurt. I choose worship. So everything that we're going through, we need to choose to worship the Lord God Almighty. I'm not going to hit on it in this message tonight, but right here in the outset before we read our scripture. In fact, if you'll stand with me and go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. May I remind you that Jehoshaphat chose to worship the Lord and the battle was won. Worship will fight the battles and win the battles every time. So tonight, if you'll go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10. If you're there, say amen. Then saith Jesus unto him, he's talking to Satan, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, and everybody read the last part with me, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. One more time, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege and the responsibility to choose. We choose trust. We choose obedience. We choose faith. We choose prayer. And tonight we choose to worship you and magnify your name in the midst of the storm, because we know you will step into that storm and say, peace be still. And we praise you before it happens in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody that you're glad to see them tonight. You may be seated. Ask them that they have a boat and paddle tonight. And then ask them, do they have a generator tonight? Raise your hand if you have a generator. Let me see your hand. Brother Elam, Brother Woody, all right, y'all got a generator? Okay, I got three different options when my lights go out. Amen. So just have a little extra bread and a little extra in a bedroom, and that's all we need. Amen. All righty. I choose worship. Now, the thesis of this sermon series is this. You are free to choose. Say amen. But you are not free from the consequences of your choice. You first make your choice, and then your choice will make you. And I want to tell you tonight that worship will make you. Amen. Worship will make you. If you choose to worship, then worship is going to make you. What will it make you? It'll make you more like Jesus. Worship will make you more humble. You can't worship the Almighty Sovereign God of the universe and keep a prideful spirit. It just can't happen. Worship breaks you down to the humility and that God is all supreme and we are in so need of Him. Worship will make you thankful. Worship will make you aware of His presence. If you want to, He's always there all the time. Amen. But when I choose to worship, I just, it's like I go beyond the veil. It's like there's the veil of this reality in this world. So when I choose to worship, I feel His presence. You cannot begin to worship without feeling the presence of the Lord. That's why we encourage you. That's why we have worship at the beginning of our services. We want you to begin to feel. We want the Lord to begin to manifest Himself. And He does that through worship. And I'll tell you something else. When you choose to worship, you will develop a burden for souls. You cannot be overwhelmed and captivated in the presence of God and not want your fellow man to have that same experience. One of the reasons I want to win souls to Jesus is I want to say, hey, you don't need alcohol. You don't need premarital and extramarital relationships. You don't need that stuff. That stuff makes you feel good for but a moment. But get into the presence of God, and it will just be something that's unexplainable that I have not seen and tongue cannot explain. You just got, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I can tell you how good bluefish is, but until you get some bluefish and taste it yourself, you won't know how good it is, and you won't know how good God is until you learn to worship Him and magnify His. Oh, don't you give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Let's worship on the eve of a storm. And then I just mentioned worship will make you victorious. Jehoshaphat proves that. When you choose to worship, you're going to win the battles, and you know that we're in a fight. You know that we're in a battle. I've been preaching on the benedictions and the sixth chapter of Ephesians that talks about putting on the whole armor of God. It closes with the benediction of peace. And I'll tell you, worship will win your battles. Can you say amen? Now, what I want to do tonight is give you three things about worship that I hope will stir your heart to choose to worship. Why should I choose to worship? Number one, point number one, God demands it. Somebody say God demands it or commands it. Now, I don't think we get that. I think that we need to understand that God doesn't request worship. He requires worship. I think we really feel like in America as Christians, you know, we live in a country of freedom and democracy and voting and things like that. And nothing wrong with that. I cherish that freedom. But we tend to kind of think that worship is kind of the democracy. I'll do it maybe if I feel like it. I'll do it if I don't feel like it. Fine if I do, fine if I don't. If the preacher asks us to lift up our hands to worship, we might think, well, I'll lift up my hands because the preacher asked us to do it. Or I may not lift up my hands if the preacher asks me to do it, just depending on what mood we're in. And I am certainly not saying tonight that your worship has to come at the request of the preacher. Not at all. But if we're not careful, we can kind of get the feeling that if I praise Him, okay. If I don't, okay. If I worship Him, okay. If not, okay. But my friend, this is just not the case. Look again at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 4, it says, thou shalt worship. Say it again. Thou shalt worship. Did you get that? The Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. These are commands to be obeyed. Thou shalt, it's a command. Just like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. One little kid got this one wrong. Thou shalt not admit adultery. But it says thou shalt not commit adultery. But let me tell you, here's another command. Thou shalt worship. It's a command. God demands it. He is almighty. He is the creator. He has the prerogative and the privilege. You don't even draw a breath without Him. Nothing we see, nothing. In Him and by Him and through Him and for Him, all things consist. The book of Colossians tells us of the grandeur of the Son of God. Oh, I want to tell you, He is God in almighty, and He demands our worship. Amen. In fact, the Ten Commandments that I just referred to are really all about worship. I mean, all 10 of them have to deal with worship. What do you mean? Well, the first commandment, no other gods, that's worship. No graven images, no idols, that's worship. not to take his name in vain. Well, what are we supposed to do? Take his name in praise. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Somebody say amen. That's why, so we can worship. Well, the Bible says, honor your mother and father. If you don't honor your mother and father, guess what? You can't worship. It affects your worship. If you commit murder, how many of you know if you're committing murder or hate your brother without a cause, it affects your worship. If you commit adultery, we've already mentioned that. If you steal, if you lie, if you covet, all of these things about the Ten Commandments basically can be summed up in this: worship God with all of your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, because it is a command, it is a prescription, it is a demand. God demands it from creation. Isaiah 55 and 12 says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall collapse their hands. Creation is demanded to worship. Psalms 148. You don't have to follow in, Brother Blue, but I'm just going to throw these out there. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun, moon, and stars. Do you know the sun and moon and stars are commanded to render God praise? And when that sun comes up every morning, it's shouting hallelujah. When it goes down at night, it's saying glory be to God. Every twinkle, twinkle, little star is saying thank you, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. All of creation, the trees of the field, even this hurricane is in a form worshiping God Almighty. How can Hurricane Florence worship God? I don't know. We'll get to heaven. We'll find out. But I promise you, every wind that's going is saying glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I know that's going to bring destruction. But let me tell you something, my friend. God doesn't bring destruction. He is the God of the storm and in the storm. Can you say amen? And the Bible says, praise him from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths, wild animals and livestock, small scurrying animals and birds, everything that hath breath. Creation. We read in the scripture where different animals were used by God. Balaam's donkey. You know, when Peter failed, the rooster crowed three times. And so we understand that animals and creation are demanded and commanded. And when they are demanded and commanded to worship, you won't find them resisting. You won't find the sun saying, I just don't feel it today. They will render their worship. What about the angels? The Bible says, praise him, all you angels. We talk about angels. People are fascinated with angels. Let me tell you what the chief occupation of angels are. To worship God and to do his bidding. The seraphim and the cherubim. And listen, I say all that to say this. If God is demanding his stars and his sun and his angels and the sun, I should say, and if he is demanding it from creation, then he most certainly demands it from his highest creation, human beings. You mean to tell me that God expects, demands, and requires worship of the angels, stars, trees of the field, claps their hands, animals, and when it comes to worship, you're going to say something like this? I don't think I'll do that. When Michelangelo, I love that movie, The Agony and the Ecstasy. It's got Charlton Heston, who plays Michelangelo. It's an old movie. Oh, if you can find a copy of it, I love that. Very Michelangelo that painted the Sistine Chapel in Rome, and you go to see his artwork at the Raleigh Art Museum, and then there's that marble statue of Moses with the two little horns up, very unique. And when Michelangelo finished the great statue of Moses, tradition says he looked at that statue in marble, hit it on the knee and said, now speak. That's how lifelike it looked. And I'm telling you, when God created you, he said, now worship. Amen, somebody. Sir Leonard Wood once visited the King of France, and the king was so pleased with him, he was invited the next day. So Sir Leonard went to the palace, and the king, meeting him in one of the halls, said, why, Sir Leonard, I did not expect to see you. How is it that you are here? And then he said, did not your majesty invite me to dine with you? Yes, replied the king, but you did not answer my invitation. Then it was that Sir Leonard Wood uttered one of the choicest sentences of his life. He said, "Sir, a king's invitation is never to be answered, but it is to be obeyed." And we are invited by the King of Kings. Come on, let's do it tonight. To worship Him. He commands it. He demands it. And I obey. I choose to worship my Master and my Creator, my Redeemer. Somebody give Him a hand of praise tonight if you choose to worship. Well, hallelujah. I just felt a streak of old glory run through me. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, let me tell you, you can't outgive God. We talk about that in money, but the more you give to Him, the more He pours back to you. Amen. So why should we worship? Number one, God demands it. But number two, this takes it a little further. God deserves it. Now, this goes to another level. You see, God as our sovereign, God as our Lord, God as our King, has every right to demand it. But let me tell you, He not only demands it, He deserves it. Now, don't we get a little upset when people demand something that they don't deserve? Now, I'm no way likening God to this, but this is kind of the issue with illegal immigration. And I understand we got to have compassion for the stranger and the aliens. I believe that. I preach that. I believe we ought to strongly open our arms to those who are fleeing for refuge as a way to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's happening is that we're having people coming in, climbing over the law, and they're coming in, and they're not just coming in. As soon as they step foot on our property, they're saying, "Now you've got to give me medical rights. Now you've got to buy my food." Now, in other words, they're demanding what they don't deserve. Well, everybody deserves this, everybody deserves that. True, in a sense, all humanity deserves to be cared for. But let me tell you something, that we'll all suffer if people demand what they do not produce. Can I get a witness out there? There's got to be more production than there is demand. If you do, shortage comes in, lack comes in, prices go up. And so in order for us to be strong, I'm not trying to get political. I'm just telling you, we don't like it when people, it doesn't matter if it's whoever, I'm not pointing out a certain group or people, or could be your cousin over there, that every time you turn around, he wants to borrow $25 of money that you ain't even tithed on, and you're talking about, "Well, I'm going to help him out." No, you're enabling his sorriness. That's what you're doing. You got to draw the line between grace and stewardship. I've never been called to bail out people who won't take care of themselves and look after them. Neither does the church. Can I get a witness out there? People knocking on our door wanting us to pay their light bill. Well, why don't you go to the church you attend? Well, and that's where we go. There's some problems right there. And so we have to say firmly but lovingly, no. Why? Because we've got to protect our resources here. We've got missionaries that we support. We've got other people's light bill that are doing the very best that they can, that we know their life. And yes, sir, we'll step in. There's nobody going to get their lights cut off here, at members in good standing of this church, if they truly have a need. And all of you ought to say amen out there. We don't like it when people demand what they do not deserve. Oh, here we go. Here's in the marriage. "I demand that you clean." Talking about my wife. "I demand that you wash my dishes. I demand that you vacuum my carpet." Now, let me tell you something. If I go home and tell my wife that I demand her to do that stuff, how many of you know it'd be trouble in paradise? How many of you men have ever tried it? No, don't raise your hand. Do we need an altar call right now? But, when I've been at Best Buy all day and I've logged 9,432 steps on my Fitbit and my feet are throbbing. By the way, the 20-year-olds, their feet hurt too because they told me. Oh, it made me feel so good. When those little skinny 20-year-olds talking about how their feet hurt, I was like, "Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus." It ain't just me. Almost 48 years old. But listen, I'm 47. I ain't 48 yet. But listen to me, that when I've worked hard and when I am home, I take out the trash and I get the yard looking nice and I clean up and help her out. Let me tell you something. And I say, "Baby, Do you mind getting me a glass of tea? No problem. You see, in her mind, I deserve it. I deserve it because I've worked hard. I didn't just come in there and demanding it. And let me tell you something about God. Let me just say this cleared up right now. God don't have to do a thing. He can just demand it because He is God. But let me tell you, you and I both know He more than deserves every ounce of worship, the best worship, consistent worship, eternal worship that we can give. He deserves it because of the life that we give. Friend, do you realize that your very life is a gift from God? Do you realize that He deserves worship? You're not just an accident. You're not just a result of evolution. God made you in His image, and He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And because of that, He not only demands worship, praise God for His plan for my life. He deserves my worship. He's working all things for my good. He is watching over me. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He deserves all the praise. I don't praise Him enough, to be honest with you. I need to praise Him more. Why don't you give Him a hand of praise that He woke you up this morning? You got a job. You live in America. You drive a car. If you can see, you can hear. If you can walk on Pat and Charlie, oh hallelujah, not in a wheelchair. If you have hot and cold running water, you are to praise Him because He deserves all of the glory and all of the honor. Can you say amen? Put those hands together and give Him the praise He deserves. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Y'all remember that song? Count your many blessings, see what God has done. But listen, He does provide my house for me. He does provide the lights. I thank Him every time I pray that I live in America. Amen. I thank Him that I can walk. I thank Him that I can see, that I can hear. I thank Him for hot and cold running water. I thank Him for electricity. Amen. Lord, oh, please touch those tree limbs next to those power lines this week. I'm telling you, I think Americans could handle a nuclear blast quicker than they could handle electricity going out. Amen. If a nuclear bomb went off, as long as the lights were on, they'd be like, okay, we can get through this. But the lights go out and it's panic city. And all of everybody agrees with me. Say amen to that. I'm telling you, we are blessed with those physical blessings. But I'm telling you, if I find out that I can't walk, if I find out that my eyesight is going, if I find out that electricity is going out for several weeks, I tell you, all these things are physical things and God still deserves my worship. Amen. But the most important thing that He deserves worship for is not what He's done for my physical life, but it's what He's done for my spiritual life. Oh, my friend, go to the cross of Calvary. He prayed for His sweats became as great drops of blood. He was in Gethsemane, and they plucked His beard out, and they pushed a crown of thorns on His head. And He did all of that, not having to do all of that. They spit in His face. They humiliated Him, stripped Him, and put the cat of nine tails on His back, 39 stripes. And he carried that cross up the Via Della Rosa. And then they put the nails in His hands and the nails in His feet. And no wonder Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The old song of the church is, Jesus, draw me nearer to that blessed cross from which You died. Listen, if you'll stay at the foot of the cross, you won't have problems with worship. If you'll stay at the foot of the cross, you won't have problems with forgiveness. If you'll stay at the foot of the cross, you won't have problems with Hurricane Florence or anything else. If you'll stay and wonder, I stand amazed in the presence of the sweet Galilean. Oh, when I think of the old, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. I know we don't like to sing that song anymore, but we still need to sing it. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross, and I'll forever thank Him
and praise Him, for He deserves the worship that I can give Him, because He died for me. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified me, freed me forever. One glorious day, I'm going to be with Him. Give Him a hand of praise here tonight. He deserves. He deserves worship for the cross. Say amen. He deserves worship because of forgiveness. Say amen. He deserves worship for your second, third chance. Amen. He deserves worship for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He deserves worship when you can hold the Bible freely in your hand and read it at your pleasure. Say amen. He deserves worship because He's promised to soon and very soon return and take us leaping through the air. He deserves worship because He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if they put me in that grave, that is not the end. That's not the end. Oh, no grave's going to hold my body down, and because of those blessed promises, He deserves the worship and the glory and the honor. I'm getting excited about this. Choose to worship God. Well, you don't know what my day's been like. Did you get out of bed on 2 feet? I called them Pat and Charlie a while ago. Did y'all catch that? Where did that come from? That's because I was raised in the country. Amen. I'm a city boy, but I was raised in the country. My first 9 years, I was raised in the country. The rest of my life, I was in the... Excuse me. The first 9 years, I was raised in the city, and then we moved to the country. But I know what Pat and Charlie is, and so should you. Amen. Everybody know who Pat and Charlie is? Yeah, they used to come to our church here. Amen. Lastly, so I can make time for prayer tonight. Choose to worship because God demands it, and He has a right to. But number two, because God deserves it, because He's earned that right more than enough. But let me tell you, this blows my mind. God desires it. He not only demands it, He not only deserves it, but He desires our worship. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Listen, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Did you hear that? See, all of creation can praise Him. The sun can praise Him. The moon can praise Him. The animals can praise Him. The angels can praise Him. But there's something missing if you don't praise Him. He desires, I didn't say our praise, He desires your praise. Are you hearing me tonight? Think about that. If all of the trees of the field clap their hands, if the seraphim continue to cry, and if even all of the rest of humans praise Him, but if I leave out my praise, there's something missing to God. There's something missing to God. In other words, everybody else can praise God. Everybody else can worship God. All of humanity. But if I leave my particular worship out, God's missing something that He deserves. What do you mean by that? Well, think of your fingerprint. Everybody has a different fingerprint. That's amen. Everybody has different DNA. Isn't that amazing that a cold case file can be discovered after 32 years? Somebody thinks they've got by with it, but one little microbe of DNA, and that tells you that the voice of that person's blood calls from the ground. That tells you that you can't get away with it, maybe in this world, but certainly not in the next. But I'm just here to tell you, everybody is unique. I say this is kind of funny, but I tell you that when God made you, He said this, I'm not going to do that again. Amen. And aren't you glad of that in some respects? God loves you so much that if He had a refrigerator, your picture would be on the front of it. Your worship is unique because every life is unique. You have certain trials and backgrounds and opportunities and situations. It's so highly unique that only that if that individual, you as an individual, are so unique, your life is so unique that your praise is equally unique. And if you do not worship, That is something in which God will miss that no other person can do. And He desires your worship. He desires you to lift your hand. He desires to hear you say amen and hallelujah. He desires you to give Him praise and worship in your... Now, I don't care. I don't know how you worship. Everybody worships differently. Say amen. Some people dance. Some people holler. Some people just shed a tear. Some people smile, and that's the... You look at them in the service, and they're not very loud, but they're smiling. And, you know, that's their form of worship. Some people, like Elma Morin, Kevin Morin, one of our assistant conference DM director, Kevin Morin, and music pastor, executive pastor at Mount Olive First Pentecostal Church. His dad pastored the Spring Hope Pentecostal Church, Elma Morin. And I remember when I was a teenager, I would go, and I would see the Spirit of God come on that man so strong, he would shout on his knees. He'd go all across the front of that church on his knees. And it was just amazing, the presence of God on Elmer Morin's life. But really, you don't have to shout on your knees if that's not you. You don't have to do all that I do or Pastor Jerry does or others. But I will tell you this, what you should do is you should, in your unique way, every day, worship the Lord and choose to worship Him. Amen? Because He desires it. Why worship? Because God demands it. Say amen. And He deserves it. Say amen. Oh, praise God. And He desires it. Say amen. Oh, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. Now, I'm going to close with this while the young people are coming back in and we're getting ready to transition to prayer. But how many of you remember... know that yesterday was the anniversary of September the 11th. How many of you know that? I got this email, and I want to read it to you as the people are coming in. But as you might know, and you might not know, but as I close tonight, I think this will tie it all together in. On 9/11, the head of a company survived because his son started kindergarten that day. Another fellow was alive because it was his turn to bring the donuts. One woman was late because her alarm clock didn't go off in time. On 9/11, one was late because of being stuck on the New Jersey Turnpike because of an auto accident. One of them missed the bus in the city. One person survived 9/11 because they spilled food on their clothes and had to take the time to change. On September the 11th, 2001, one person survived that day because their car wouldn't start. One person survived that day because they went back to answer an important phone call that they weren't expecting. One person survived 9/11 because they had a child that didn't get ready as soon as they should have. One person survived 9/11 because they couldn't get the taxi to stop for them. One person was a man who put on a new pair of shoes that morning, took the various means to get to work, but before he got there, he developed a blister on his foot, so he stopped at a drugstore to buy a Band-Aid, and that rescued him from going into the towers before the plane hit. Now, why are you saying all this, Pastor Ricky? Why are you telling me this and tying it in with worship? Because let me tell you something. Sometimes the things that life that don't go just right turn out to be a great blessing. So why don't we choose to worship when we miss the taxi? Why don't we choose to worship when for some reason our shoes don't fit and we get a blister and we have to stop and get a Band-Aid? Maybe God is in that more than we realize. Why don't we learn to worship when our alarm clock... Now, I'm not saying this is a habit. Now, please tell me, now, if you got a habit of your alarm clock not going off, that's not spiritual. That's just because you're lazy. Amen. Come on now. And you don't want to go to work. That's the deal, Pickle. But let me tell you, if you are in a habit of being at work and it just so happens happens. Your alarm doesn't go off. Learn to praise God anyway. Maybe he prevented you from a 9/11. Friend, we just need to learn in the blessings and in the blastings sometimes, in the disappointments, or his appointments. We just need to choose to worship when our day doesn't go right, when we plan it out. For some reason, these people on 9/11 are alive today because something didn't go right. So praise God when things go right. Praise him when something doesn't go right. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. And praise him when the sun goes down. I choose to worship. Do you choose to worship tonight? Come on and lift those hands up. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, Pastor. We love you tonight, Jesus. We choose to worship. And all of God's people said amen. God demands it, say amen. God deserves it, say amen. And God desires it, say amen. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Rick is going to play some music. I want us just to come on to the altar. We're going to pray and we're going to ask our Heavenly Father as we speak to the storm.
Yes.
He will send his spirit into the storm. Put a hook in the eye of that storm, bridle it, and turn it back the way it came. Father, we come into your sanctuary. We come to your altar of grace. And Lord, these are families that are coming. And Lord, all over this East Coast right now, there are families, God. Families that love you. Families, Lord, that don't even acknowledge you, but we acknowledge you here and we come into this prayer of agreement. We ask you, Lord, to still the storm. We speak to the storm as Jesus did. He whispered, "Peace, be still." The people marveled and said, "Never a man spake as this
Hallelujah.
Man spake." And he says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Two of you agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask. It shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And Lord, you instituted the family so there would be a man and a woman, family members, that could come into that prayer of agreement. And then out of your riven side came the church, so there would be a family, a church that would come together and pray one for another. And Lord, pray for the harvest of souls. Lord, we pray that there will be a turning in this nation, people turning back to you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Lord, even though they say this is a monstrous storm, we praise you because you're God and you can do anything. And Lord, as your people, we call upon you as your word says, "Call upon me, I will answer you." We bind principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We loose the power of God. Lord, you said whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we've already bound on earth is already bound in heaven. Lord, between us in first heaven and you in third heaven, Lord, that second heaven where Satan rules his kingdom. And Satan is the one that causes the storm. And we recognize that, Lord, because it's destructive. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You said, "I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." So, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you and we worship you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you the honor. Lord, you command it, but Lord, you deserve it and you desire it. And you said, "I want you to call on me. I want you to come to me if you're heavy laden. I want you to come to me when there's fear. I want you to come to me when there are problems, and I want you to ask me some things. And then I want you to seek me, and then I want you to knock," which, Lord, my definition of knock is praise, is worship. That we get into your presence, and we just begin to praise you. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You said, "Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven." So we loose the presence of God here on earth. And Lord, we thank you that it's already loosed in heaven. And Lord, that you're sending your spirit into that storm to calm that storm. Send angelic messengers, O God, to camp round about those, Lord, in harm's way. Send your ministering spirits, flames of fire, angels, glory to God, angelic protection. Lord, we pray protection over those in this church. We pray protection over those, Lord, that are watching by Facebook and live stream, and those that we're connected to in this community. We pray protection over them. We call, O God, and we praise you and we worship you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We lift up holy hands without fear, without wrath.
Oh, yes,
as a form of praise, a form of worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory to God. Lord, they have called this a monstrous storm. But Lord, you're above all. Third heaven is above second heaven. And Lord, all it takes is for you to just bring that calm. Put a hook in the jaw of that storm. Brattle it. You said, I'll send you back the way you came. And Lord, when Isaiah spoke that, he was quoting Kings, what the scribes had already written down. He was just quoting the word of God. And so tonight we're quoting the word, and we thank you for whatever we ask in Jesus' name. You said we can get an audience. We can come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in our time of need. And Lord, this is a time of need. This is a time of desperation, oh God. But Lord, we thank you that we didn't just start praying today. We didn't just start praying because that's a crisis. Lord, we've been praying. Lord, we stay in constant communion with you. Because Jesus said, men ought always pray and never quit. So, God, we just love to talk to you. We love to fellowship with you. And we thank you, Lord, that you desire fellowship with man. You created us,
yes,
God, to fellowship, to commune with you. You walked in that garden, Lord. Walked through the gardens of each home here, each family here. Walk right through there, Lord. Bring peace. Bring joy. Leave righteousness. Sing, Brother Ricky. Hallelujah. Glory.
He's here. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, he is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name.
Bless you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you.
He is here. Listen closely.
Oh, hear. He's calling out.
Hallelujah.
Your name.
Glory.
He is here. You can touch him.